This week on The Droids, we catch up with the Obi-Wan Kenobi trailer. Not the Kenobi trailer, not the Obi-Wan trailer. It's the Obi-Wan Kenobi trailer. The teaser has a set for May 25th. Join the droids. We're talking Obi-Wan. Welcome back to the Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast. Alongside Chris Ryan, I am Mike. Oh, we're missing Sam. Wow. I thought I was going to say his name, but I didn't. We don't have Sam with us. But I think we should harmonize more,
yeah.
Right? Shouldn't
yeah.
we?
Yeah. I thought guys, for a second, Mike, you were going to say, I'm Sam.
Guys, I just lost myself. I just want to say I'll be speaking a little low because I'm currently, in order to get a ticket to the Galactic Star Cruiser, the Antonetti family had an extra spot because one of their kids had to go to a college orientation.
Yeah,
I am in the top bunk. I have not been outside
that
for 3 days.
Privileged information you got about
I've not seen sunlight in a long time.
have you
I'm
ever
currently
felt
ensconced in some kind of galactic espionage that I am not sure about. Someone at the breakfast buffet said that I am the spy.
Seems like it could be. Yeah. You're the spy.
I am the spy, and they said that I have to cruise us in for another happy landing.
Right. And that's, what, $12.99, $13.99? How much does it cost to do that?
So every word costs $1.50.
Gotcha.
With a cast member.
Gotcha.
But again, I don't know what day it is. It's like a casino. I haven't seen, I haven't been outside.
Right. Do all the cast members say, remember, I work for tips. Remember, I work for tips.
Galactic credits, please, in the form of U.S. dollars.
Exactly.
I think what you mean is they're going to be asking for some death sticks.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, where's that? Do you think there's a speakeasy in the Star Cruiser?
There is, very clearly.
Oh, wow.
But you have to know the right people, and it depends on how big your pocketbook is.
Oh, there it is. That was good.
We were waiting for it.
Wow.
You know, Ryan, though, I get a sense you're none too pleased with the pricing of our glorious Halcyon Galactic Star Cruiser.
The premier Star Wars experience.
If you get an extra bunk from the Antonetti family, it's perfectly reasonable. They've been really nice.
Yeah.
They call me son. So that's nice.
Did they think that you came with the experience? So, you know, they thought it was you were actually just part of it. You were one of the.
So I did come dressed as an Imperial guard.
Ah.
And I said, I'll be staying in your room. And they may have thought that that meant that they were having some kind of cast experience. But once
right.
I used all
yeah.
the towels,
I think they realized it. They realized it pretty quick.
Right.
This is not worth $5,000 to have this man take our towels.
Yeah, once I said I have to put in my mouthpiece, I snore really loud. Yeah,
exactly.
They didn't know what they were
doing. They were, yeah.
Well, I'm still very excited about the Galactic Star Cruiser. We're going to talk about that a little bit whenever we get there, when I put together the funds and the credits and maybe do a Jedi mind trick on somebody to get in.
That reminds me, if you want to donate to our Patreon, a lot of the money probably goes to putting back into the pod. It definitely doesn't go into Mike's Star Cruiser voyage.
Depends.
That'd be hilarious.
That would be hilarious if we ran a Patreon and then they found out we just go to Star Cruiser.
I mean, I'm sure we wouldn't be the first Star Wars podcast to do that.
If you run a Patreon,
yeah,
aren't you get to choose what you do with?
It's not like a Kickstarter.
No.
Oh, it's
no.
Just
I
like,
mean, like
oh,
you have
like,
to provide something. Like it's like
oh.
you know, you get the podcast.
Yeah, oh, you get it.
But
okay,
you're not
yeah,
beholden
we just do a
anything.
Oh, we just do a podcast at the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Ryan is doing right now as he's hiding out in the bunk.
Wait a second.
Exactly.
That...
I'm fulfilling.
You took all our tens of dollars and did that?
That's right.
I think if we started a Patreon, I want to give us an over-under on how long it would take for us to get one night. It's a two-night experience,
yeah.
but how long
yeah.
would it take for us to get to one
what night? What episode are we at? 180-something now? Let's say episode 1,000.
Listen, I was told when I was in third grade that my first communion money was going toward college, but I never saw any evidence of that. So it's got to be somewhere.
Yep. Fair enough.
What about all those bonds my great-grandmother used to give me on Christmas that I'd say this? Thanks.
You know, funny enough, I cashed in some bonds lately. This is the really tip-top of a Star Wars
right,
podcast.
This is...
they matured mighty fine, if I say so myself.
Hey,
so, Ryan,
you
if you want to go and check them out.
And Mike is now going to the Galactic Star Cruiser.
And there you go.
Thank you, Grandpa. This is what you intended. I know.
Wow.
I know it.
Wow. But we're not here to talk about the Star Cruiser today, are we? We're doing that thing where we're so excited about something that we can't talk about it.
Well, we will say follow us on all the usual places. Twitter, Droids Pod, Facebook, The Droids Podcast, Instagram, Droids Pod, Gmail. You can email us, droidspod@gmail.com. YouTube, Fall in Order, Playthrough, check it out, Droids Pod. TikTok and Droids Pod. Go watch the back catalog. There's so much there that you can find. All right, I did the business. I did what we needed to do. Now let's get into it. Obi-Wan Kenobi.
There we go.
The teaser trailer. Hello there. We had not seen this in quite some time.
Yeah.
And here we are. Back where we've all wanted to be. The only place that matters in Star Wars.
Finally.
Tatooine.
Finally.
Chris finally got to pan down.
I got a pan down. I got a rack focus.
I miss panning down.
They got a rack focus to start out.
So obviously we're super excited about the trailer. We're going to talk about that. They did a really interesting thing where they just basically did like a greatest hits of Star Wars trailers in one.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I think was the right move. And boy, that face of his. He looks great.
He looks a bit old. It is a bit of a Star Wars hype reel.
It really is. I mean, it opens very similar to the Force Awakens trailer.
Yeah.
And then, of course, it kicks into Duel of the Fates while the Lucasfilm logo is victim of the snap. And then we're off and running.
That's right. It's very unfortunate timing that they put that logo up when Thanos snapped.
I love that people have responded to, boy, just another kicking Anakin with some sand in the skin right there with the sand taking away the Lucasfilm logo.
Yep.
Just once again.
Not to get too ahead of ourselves, but the Jedi Fallen Order playthrough is not completely irrelevant today because there are Inquisitors very present this trailer and in that game. Is that the live-action Grand Inquisitor from Rebels?
I don't know if it's supposed to be the same one because that was voiced by Jason Isaacs.
Yeah.
And if you were going to bring him into live action, you would just have Jason Isaacs, and that is Rupert Friend, I believe, who is the Inquisitor. It may be, maybe it is, and this is their take on that Inquisitor now brought into the Obi-Wan series.
Mm-hmm.
Though there was a big hubbub within the internet of, oh, you didn't do it right, his head doesn't look right, it needs to be more elongated, and who cares?
Right.
Stop it.
Well, that's what I was wondering. He's definitely he has the pale skin with the detailing on it. Jason Isaacs is a very long-headed fellow, so it would be it would make sense.
According to the Wikipedia article for the Grand Inquisitor, it says it has two actors, and one is Rupert Friend, and the other is Jason Isaacs. So
maybe it is.
But you're saying two actors, as in one played him in the animated series, and one is playing him in live action.
It's saying portrayed by. This is portrayed by Max von Sydow. What?
Oh, that makes sense.
Rupert Friend. Wait, why would it say portrayed by Max von Sydow?
Because he's now given a spoiler from The Force Awakens, and apparently he was evil the entire time.
I guess.
Wait. It says portrayed or betrayed?
Yeah, exactly. No, it says portrayed. Max von Sydow and Rupert Friend. On the Wikipedia page. You're hearing this live.
I mean, somebody's got that wrong.
Something's messed up here, because it also says voiced by Jason Isaacs and Ashley Eckstein. So, something's screwy here.
Is the Grand Inquisitor Lor San Tekka?
That would be weird.
Wait, but Ryan, you've watched Rebels most recently.
Yes.
When does Jason Isaacs, Inquisitor, meet his fate?
I believe the end of the first season, right?
Which would be right before A New Hope. So, it is possible that he would exist in this time period.
Yeah, the timelines make sense.
Yeah, that still makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
Because it's like, but we meet like older Obi-Wan, which I still think would be after this Obi-Wan.
Yeah. Yep.
I think what, season 3?
Yep.
And that you know, I think the whole series takes place probably over 4 years. I think it lines up. It would
line up.
And maybe they've just cut this trailer extremely well, but did this feel grander to you the way it did to me?
Yes.
In the sense that I almost felt like I was watching a movie trailer. I did not feel like I was watching a Disney streaming series. And I also didn't feel like I was watching something shot entirely on the volume.
No, but a lot on the volume.
Oh, yeah. No. It absolutely is. I'm just saying they did a good job of cutting this to make it hide it.
I mean, I think the fact that we didn't hear boom, 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 boom.
I mean, it looks like it looks really good. And
yeah,
beyond the fact that, like, obviously it's Tatooine and stuff, although Tatooine looks fine here, is that I'm not sure if the other locales are also Tatooine, just different parts of it we haven't seen. But it is enough for it to be like, oh, cool, they're in, like, a city-ish area. They're in, like, a neon-like area that looks like Coruscant, but who knows.
Yeah.
And it's just, it has a, I hate to use this word, but like there is like a dynamism to it where it the movement of the trailer is very strong.
Mm-hmm.
It has like the tone of it just really nails what I think people want from this show, which is there is action and stuff, but there is also him walking like with a robe, like looking out from under a hood.
Right. There's a little bit there's a little bit of mystery.
Yes.
Unveiled in this, and also to me I get the feeling from the trailer and the fact that they're calling it a limited series, I think this is going to be one kind of cohesive story as opposed to kind of vignettes of a longer story where we got that with Boba Fett and Mandalorian. I feel like this seems like it's going to be one goal, one focus.
Yeah,
we're not really worried about the serialization here. It's more just this is going to be a journey, I think, by the end of it.
Also, this is a part of the saga we haven't seen in live action, the whole, like, the hunting down of the Jedi at post-Order 66, which we know we've said is kind of, like, you know, present throughout all of the animated series and stuff like that. But, you know, we certainly haven't seen Inquisitors in live action. And, you know, the whole thing, even seeing Tatooine at, like, a different time period is great.
Yeah.
I love that they have that, like, quick shot of Joel Edgerton in there.
Yeah.
As Uncle Owen. Yep.
That was nice.
Really, like, you know, an actor that we now know is a great actor, so it's like he's getting to do cool stuff.
Yeah.
Obi-Wan riding that weird camel with a little butt tail.
He's back, baby.
But I there's a lot to be excited about in this, and I guess I'm just pleasantly surprised, and maybe this is the most emotional I've gotten hearing Duel of the Fates ever.
Sure.
Meaning that when I first, when it first came out, I think that would probably have been the most emotional I heard when I first heard it during the Phantom Menace. But it's been so long, and Ryan has done such a great job of turning the tide among some of us in our, you know, reception and thoughts of the prequel, which.
Yeah.
With that in mind, you know, there's a couple things I want to talk about with that. But like, so to get that moment again and to hear that John Williams score, whew. Ooh, that was very, very bone-chilling that I mean, very excited about and loved that touch that they made that choice.
Yeah. You're also getting, like, all the best parts of the scores from all three of the prequels. Like, they really just made a killer track there. And, I mean, is this series the chosen one? Will this bring balance to the Force? Will people that didn't like the prequels and then the sequels and the sequels, will this bring it all together? Will people agree? Will this be it?
Well, I think people like to say that they all agree on The Mandalorian, but
yeah.
I want to say, just speaking of the prequels, because Ewan McGregor has been interviewed, obviously, in the build-up to this and the excitement of what's coming up.
He lied has talked to our about face it for years.
He did, for years. Ryan, you have helped with a little bit of a change of the tide, and Ewan's seen the positivity in the prequels a little bit now as well. But undoubtedly,
I do take responsibility for that.
Yeah, I think you should.
Yeah.
Undoubtedly, he experienced the negativity from early on, and he said, I found that negativity quite hard. For it to come out and get knocked so hard was quite personally difficult to deal with, and also, early in my career, I didn't really know how to deal with that. I'd been involved with things that just didn't make much of a ripple, but that's different from making something that makes a negative ripple. That's interesting.
Wow.
That is interesting, but also he's very, every time I've ever seen him talk in interviews about it, he talks about, like, how he loved the experience and how he was, like, happy with the results.
Oh, yeah.
Which,
yeah.
Of course, like, you know, could be PR and stuff, but, like, I believe it because it's, like, you know, if I love those movies, why wouldn't he? But he once, like, I forget, he was on, like, a radio show. I was watching, like, a YouTube clip where someone was asking, like, about the prequels. And they said, like, you know, how essentially, like, how is it to kind of, like, be part of something that people hate, you know, like, like this? Or, like, but they said it in a roundabout way where they were just like, how do you feel about, you know, the reaction, blah, blah, blah. And he, like, very diplomatically, but, like, in a real way, he was like, well, I enjoyed them. It sounds like you think that I should... like that there's a negativity that I should be reading into here. Like, it was just like a thing where he was like, everybody's beating around the bush that everybody hated these things, which obviously is not true. Cause the Droid Boys did not hate the prequel.
No, no. I mean, yeah, I think culturally it kind of came this like sticking point where everyone was like, prequels, eye roll. Like, I think, and I think what has happened is that that still exists, but I think there's people that have, the converts have been like, actually, you know what, they're not that bad. And I think what is happening though is there's never been some kind of cultural sticking point to say, oh hey, they're like, no, these are actually not bad. Like, there hasn't been, well, the undoing. We
there's
need the
converts, but then, and we've talked about this a bunch on the show, is that, like, there's also the people who were like, we never thought these were bad, people who came up on the prequels that are just like, this is our Star Wars. We love this.
Exactly. And I think that that just hasn't been, like, that signpost hasn't been put down yet. And I think it will be at some point. And I mean, eventually just the people that didn't like it will just kind of, their voices will kind of go away. But I think, I kind of lost my point here. But,
while you think of that point, the internet has turned into there are no voices that go away.
Yeah, exactly. The internet is forever. But I was just going to say, what I think is interesting, though, is that love them or hate them, I think everyone unanimously can say, and this might be why Ewan McGregor can make these statements, is unanimously everyone said that Ewan McGregor's Obi-Wan is awesome. Like, I think... I don't think there's a voice in Star Wars that's like, oh, man, Ewan McGregor ruined Obi-Wan. Like, if anything, people probably might even prefer him, dare I say, to Alec Guinness. Like, over...
Chris, I agree with you, but it's
like, look out.
Hang on. Sorry. I apologize. I have to interrupt this train of thought because it is too monumental. Is this true? Is this something that can actually get our all hopes to where we want them to be?
Wow.
Discussing film on Twitter is reporting Damon Lindelof is working on a Star Wars movie.
What?
This is breaking news?
This is breaking news. This is breaking news.
Really? Well, you know, I'm excited.
I am as well, but...
if that's true, that's amazing.
It's discussing film. They're sourcing out something behind a paid wall. There's not much to say that it's
firm. You can't continue without disabling.
Yeah. But, I would be over the moon if that was the case.
I'd also be over the moon. Of course, he has created...
yeah,
one of my favorite pieces of media, or if not my favorite piece of media ever, The Leftovers.
Wow. I wish you were talking about Lost, but I appreciate that.
No, I love Lost, too. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying that, like, I'm so enthusiastic about The Leftovers that that's the one I have to name first. But obviously, huge Lindelof fan, you know, and people seem to think he's a divisive figure. But it's like, watch his television shows that he's... even if you didn't like the ending of Lost, the last two television shows he's made, geez Louise. So yeah, wow! The breaking news. Breaking news.
Yeah, sorry to interrupt. I don't mean to interrupt the show, but
well, so that's great. Hopefully that's true. Saying what Chris, part of the reason in regards to Obi-Wan here.
Yeah,
one of the consequences amongst many that I think in the way that fandom has kind of become part of the creative process. Which I think is an issue, you know, where fans, things are in direct conversation with fans now at this point, is that everything now is read as a response to something else.
Sure.
So it's like a lot of this is like, you know, from prequel haters, you'll hear about this show being like, finally, like, justice for Ewan McGregor. Like, he's gonna finally like get his due. Blah 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 blah.
Right,
as
right.
if like he, as if the and you know I've seen yeah. this kind of discourse in a lot of places. You know, film Twitter being a lot of them, which is that like finally like they're gonna do it right by him, and it's like not everything has to be a response to something, and that can go both ways, right? It could be a response to the fact that like people think it's a response to that they didn't like the prequels, and now like they're finally like getting it back to basics or like whatever, or that you know people liked this, so now we're getting like more of a version of this. It is essentially like. The culmination of this in pop culture was like Jason Reitman saying that they were giving Ghostbusters back to the fans. and all of the like really messed up implications that had in the context of like what had gone on with that franchise and like the fandom reaction to the movie that had made previous.
Right.
And I think that happens a lot now with Star Wars. Everything seems like it's a response to something. Oh, like they messed up with The Last Jedi so that you know, so The Rise of Skywalker had to respond to that. And then, you know, even with The Force Awakens, it's like the prequels had too much CGI, so we have to respond to that.
Right.
And I think that the discourse that the studios are putting out is contributing to this. I'm not saying that people are misunderstanding. I do think a lot of things are responses. But I think that with Obi-Wan, like you said, Ewan McGregor is like almost unanimously considered the high point of the prequels, whether people like them or not.
Yeah.
So it's like to say it's like finally he's getting like a chance. It's like, no, he like crushed it the first
time. Yeah. Like, I mean, it was one of the best parts to watch him and his buddy have a deteriorating friendship.
I will say, though, I think I can understand where people are coming from. It's not necessarily saying that what he did was not good. And not necessarily saying that the story of his character was bad, but there were issues with dialogue. There were issues with the way, obviously, some of what happened in the Attack of the Clones. I think Revenge of the Sith is a bit different. I don't know if I have an issue with him in The Phantom Menace, because I think that's a good introduction to that character. Though there's the level of the Padawan rat tail that is not the most favorable look for anyone.
They're bringing it back for this series, too, I heard.
But I want to say is like I love the idea, and unfortunately I don't know that we're going to get it, of let's give Ewan McGregor the chance to do a more dramatic take on the character.
Sure.
And again, we're probably not going to get it because all of what seems to be the case, and I can't remember his name, but the writer of the movie Drive originally wrote the scripts for this movie, for this show.
Okay.
They then threw them out because it was all considered too dark. And because we're not going to go dark enough in this, it makes me be like, okay, well, so I guess we're not going to get, you know, Ewan to the full capability
right.
of his range.
Well,
because
yeah.
we're going to get to see. Because this show, really what it should be is him dwelling in his failure. And we're probably going to get more of an adventure tale than
yeah.
I would have thought.
It could be his, kind of his... I would call it a decline, but kind of his transformation into kind of a kooky old wizard.
Yeah, into a hermit.
Yeah, I mean, okay, so I'm going to push back on
this a little bit. Yeah,
I agree with you. Well, I'm excited to see Ewan McGregor get, like, an entire arc to himself.
Yeah.
So it's like I'm stoked about this. So it's not... The fact of the matter is I'm more like, why does this need to be a response... Or like, you know, viewed as a response, an actual response or not, as opposed to just like an exciting thing that's happening. Like, cool. Like, we're getting an Obi-Wan show, and Ewan McGregor was the high point.
Fair.
So, like,
yep.
Yes, we're getting like more of him, and like he'll really like, you know, because he's the main character, he'll get to really dive in and stuff. It doesn't have to be about like the prequels. I didn't like the prequels, and now finally, it could be like,
right,
cool, yeah. like the prequels, and now this, cool.
And Ryan, that's my reaction to this. I don't think, you know, and obviously I'm reacting to what has been said and trying to cut, not justify, but give a little bit of a reason for why it may be. My initial reaction is, oh, he's fantastic. He's great. Can't wait to see this. Not thank goodness they're going to get it right now. Cause I loved him. It's just, I want to say like why you could see a little bit of that.
No, I totally get it. I think it's weird. That's the first I've heard about how they threw out scripts, because I remember yeah. that they that
it looks
they,
a little dark though. You see a guy like hanging there with his feet. Yeah. Like,
well, I remember that they had like done rewrites. I remember where they were like yeah. we're kind of starting from scratch. I didn't know that it was because they were too dark, yeah. but I mean, I guess we'll see. I don't want to like you know, fall into the kind of trope that like darker is better. You know, where it's like, if it's super dark, then that means that it's like the better version of the story. That may not be
the
case.
Says right. the man who thinks that the Batman is the best Batman movie of all time. The darker well, one. It's the dark, literally and figuratively.
Right. I mean, I could push back against that too, because it's a stylized take on my like grittiness. But
yeah, that's for, we got to wait for Sam. We got to wait for Sam.
Yeah, we do.
yeah.
But I think that... yeah, I mean, I suppose we'll see. I also think that his arc is
yeah.
To me, the arc of Obi-Wan between episode 3 and episode 4 is one of it needs to be one of acceptance for him to be the yep. Obi-Wan right. we see in episode 4. I don't
right.
know if we're going to get that.
And my thought is and my I guess a little bit of a concern, and maybe it's not shouldn't be a concern, but my thought is that this is going to be mainly a vehicle for an Obi-Wan Darth Vader fight where Vader wins, essentially. And by the end of this, because Hayden Christensen has said you're going to see like the most bad Vader you've ever seen before.
A very powerful version.
Yes.
Oh boy.
And
oh
so
boy. Let's not start there. Let's just
so,
not even start.
And so my guess is that the Rogue One scene has got people riled up and I think they're gonna lean into that a little bit. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing at this point. I think that could be a direction though, and that could be kind of the catalyst of why we see when we see Obi-Wan he's so wrecked because of what happens by the end right. of this.
Well,
I don't know that could be. I just why set anything up for this is going to be the best badass version of it? Meaning, I don't even care if it is badass or not. This has been the preeminent villain in the history of cinema, and you're trying to tell us that this is going to be the best he's ever been? Stop it! Like, we don't need that on.
I mean, his last movie was Little Italy. I think he's just amped. He's excited.
Well, that's kind of also that's yeah. a version of like the darker the better. Like, it's
right,
like
right.
The more powerful to me, yeah. the like the high watermark that they're competing with in terms of the emotional core of that. Of the Darth Vader,
yeah.
the you know, this is a person who we've lost.
Yeah.
Is the episode of Rebels with Vader and Ahsoka. Yeah.
Yes.
Right? It's like that's yes, Darth Vader is very powerful in that, but that's not like why
it's not the point.
Emotional.
Right.
Yeah. And so I'm hoping that they have a beat on that for this. And like, you know, and if it is just a cool fight, then it's just a cool fight. That's cool. That's fine too.
Yeah.
But
I mean,
I think you know, they seem
to
be
seeing it. The
they
song's
seem to
be
in striving there. For something.
The song, hopefully. The song is in there. I'm just saying, and I'm not opposed to it. I think there's talented people in it. I mean, it worked in the prequels.
Yeah.
It was emotionally charged. They earned it. It was awesome. So
we're and
flying
I
on
think...
those little platforms in the lava pit. I even like that.
Seeing this time period in live action. In Star Wars, I think I'm really excited about beyond just the Obi-Wan-ness of it, which I'm excited yeah. about too. But like again, the Inquisitors, the hunting down of the Jedi, the hiding out stuff, like that's really
yeah
cool.
The Kumail Nanjiani of it all.
Oh, I forgot. Wow. We don't see any hint
no.
of him,
no.
right?
And I don't see, no. don't think we see any O'Shea Jackson
this is,
in this either.
Yeah, this is kind of the Obi-Wan version of the trailer, I think we'll probably get a Vader side, unless they're really keeping that
oh
hidden.
Boy well so they did get Vader breath at the end,
yeah,
you hear the Vader
and you also
breath.
Notice the eye is a little lightsaber in Kenobi if you
it
look
is.
At it yeah
it is.
The,
oh,
the rightmost eye.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I like that a lot.
Snuck that in there.
Another thing for me to buy in my Galactic Star Cruiser.
Did Lindelof make this show?
Oh, he did.
Do we think this is all Tatooine? Because I don't.
No, I don't think we're on Tatooine in the Coruscant-type planet.
Yeah.
That's cool. Do we see him using a gun?
It looks like it. You can't really tell for sure.
Where he's like ducking behind the
That it has to be him.
A civilized age joke.
Then we have a shot of like what would essentially be like the John Woo doves, except it's Star Wars, so it's like green birds, which is just cool.
Exactly.
That like really stuck in my mind. That's really cool.
Me too.
That just was like one of those moments that made me feel flourish like... I mean this in the best way, like with the John Woo doves. Like, a visual flourish that logically probably definitely makes no sense. Maybe in this it does. But like it's just like a visual thing that's so striking.
Yeah.
Obi-Wan.
It was the thing that felt most cinematic to me. I don't know why.
It is like the shot that when I picture the trailer, it's what's in my head. It's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Obi-Wan carries Luke Skywalker across the desert. Who's carrying who?
Are you doing two sets of footprints?
Yeah, exactly. Everyone confuses Obi-Wan for Jesus. So.
When there was one, I was carrying you, Luke.
I do like...
Did you see Luke in that trailer? Oh, my God. See,
I'll tell you what. I'm kind of a just... I don't know what it is. Just the brain fog of the world. But I saw that. I was like, Anakin's in it?
That is funny,
because he was doing like the pod racer stance. Yep. So I was like, wait a second.
Does anyone else think they were going to get a moment of like, get out of my way, old man. I'm going to the Tashi station.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but it will be Mark Hamill. With like a little spinner hat on.
Well, I want to know. There's got to be some.
I would like to.
That would be amazing. There's got to be some rift with Uncle Owen, right? They gotta have a falling out of sorts.
Well, do you think we might explore a little Uncle Owen? Get a little bit of like who the man is instead of just ornery Uncle Owen.
Yeah.
I mean, if they called Joel Edgerton, I hope they gave him something to do.
Something to do. Well, it's not always the case.
I hope it's a Breaking Bad type moisture farm situation where he promises a bunch of water.
By the way, that shot of Joel Edgerton, great. Like, what a great face. That dude, like, can convey a lot with, like, a very little.
Which goes back to, again, maybe this is why it has as much... gravitas as it does, as much cinematic nature, as you're just looking at the faces of very hardened actors and good actors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you think about it, in the scope of a Star Wars TV show, I mean, this is the first time, they've done it. They've got one of the even the Boba Fett thing was kind of made up for the show.
He wasn't really
Boba Fett. So I'm going to say, like, in this scenario, it's like, they got the guy. Like, it's
it is the production value of having, like, a movie star.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they got Obi. It's like...
Though this is a Star Wars show, having a movie star with one of the most famous actors from Star Wars in it.
Exactly. Like, they did it. And you can tell, like, the energy around it, everything is, like... you get goosebumps when you watch it. It's
yeah, and it's like really him. It's you're, not
you're
like
seeing,
a...
you're seeing the guy you saw when you're 13 years old sitting in a movie theater.
Yeah, that's interesting. I never thought of it that way. Where it's like this is the first time. I understand we saw Luke in The Mandalorian, but that wasn't a human being.
that was a computer. Yeah, this is it. So I don't think I appreciated it on that level until. We started talking about it, but just like I got chills to think
it's
like
the main character of a Star Wars movie in a Star Wars show, so it seems like a movie.
He's the last thing you saw for so long.
Yeah, that's true. That's funny. Yeah, yeah.
And now he's back.
Think this will be cyclical at all in the way that everything rhymes, Chris, in the classic Star Wars rhyming, in the Obi-Wan hermited version of himself would have any echoes to Luke, Al, in The Last Jedi, or Yoda in Dagobah?
I have to imagine they're going to have to try at that as in their time frame. And I mean, listen, they have more time than a movie to do this.
Yeah.
So I guess they don't have more time than three movies, but we really got such a little, slice of Obi-Wan Kenobi in the original trilogy. And it seems like from those slices, it's such a rich, developed character. Then obviously we got his upbringing in the prequels, where he said that Yoda was his master, which wasn't always true. Kind of forgot about Qui-Gon. But we'll get maybe a little more character out of this. I don't know, like, what's his deal? Like, what does he like to do? But we've never seen him by himself. is what I'm trying to get at. We've only seen him in relation to everything else. I don't really know his perspective.
I want them to give us at least one episode where it is an Obi-Wan bottle episode. He is just out in the desert in his hut, no other interaction, right. No character. It can have flashbacks, but I don't want this all to be propulsive Obi-Wan being chased and hunted.
Oh,
am
dude,
I excited to see that? I want to see that, Ryan, like you're talking about, but I want one episode of solitude.
Oh, there should be an episode where like nothing's in focus except the back of his head. And like
it just
and
POV,
it's just like him like, you know, collecting water. I think there should be like a shot like with an out of focus Qui-Gon Jinn that he's talking to through the four. Like also like Liam Neeson will probably be in this, right?
Well, I don't know where we are on the standard Liam Neeson did something wrong scale. What is he? Where are we on that? I don't know that he's actually
personally
allowed.
Or where does Star Wars fall? Because the dude gets work, so it's like.
Well, that, but he gets work, but he gets work in now movies that are, you know, almost direct to DVD if they didn't have.
I think that one of the big like, you know, if they're doing all of these like big like someone
have,
shows up. It's
yeah,
gonna
they
be
have
Qui-Gon
they have set piece moments.
Oh, I agree with you. I'm just saying after his comments about.
No, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Is he allowed in polite society again, or is that you know?
That I mean, we'll either have him or I mean the real rabbit in the hat, obviously. Yoda. I mean,
yeah.
we'll get a because like Yoda would be he'd exist at this point in time.
Oh, I don't know if I'm ready for that. I don't know. I don't know that
oh
I'm ready
my
for
God,
anybody
Chris,
else.
You're right.
But I'm not ready for somebody else to
he's
write.
He's alive. They can talk through the Force. They're just learning.
No,
about
but he
the Force
he's
world.
Alive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like that's.
So that's. I mean, that's. And then you got Grogu. I mean. They'd almost be fools not to put Yoda in this.
Well, no, you actually just said the better point. They're going to introduce Grogu in this.
I honestly don't think they will.
No, I think they will as a button as the end of the teaser.
Like Yoda's going to give birth to Grogu.
Oh my god!
Holy wow!
No, you're no, it'll be like
one more push.
There
that
is
was
Lindelof's
another. Note for the show: make Yoda birth Grogu. Wow, you're hearing it here first.
Someone feeds Yoda after midnight and a big egg pops out of his back.
Exactly.
One of the other things that was said about why they had to rewrite a lot of the script was that Kenobi and the Mandalorian were very similar.
Yes.
In that there was a lot of Obi-Wan trying to protect Luke in the way that they were protecting Grogu. I don't think that they would go so far, but it's one of those things to give like a little bit of a nugget at the end.
Yeah.
It would be the birth of Grogu as a post-credit stinger. That is not related to like Yoda, but we'll just like get some little hint about it so that eventually we can go back and get another flashback to him with Order 66.
That's fair.
They would be insane not to put Yoda in this. I'm going with Crystal.
Yeah.
But to me, and a lot of people would disagree who didn't like The Last Jedi, you have to know how to write Yoda well. Like, give it to Filoni. Like, don't let anybody else write that part.
Sure.
If somebody else is writing Yoda, Ryan Johnson did it exceptionally well. I don't think that it should be. I'm very nervous about what they would do.
But sure. if you just name two people who, you know, aren't George Lucas or Lawrence Kasdan, why can't we assume that someone else can do it well too?
We've watched Jon Favreau write three series of television.
Yeah, but like none of them had Yoda in it, and it's like also I don't know. I'm willing to give it a shot.
I think
either him having a scene where Yoda's telling him he's going to Dagobah or him going to Dagobah to see Yoda. I think,
oh my God.
You know, I mean, you know, in Empire, he's like, you're going to the Dagobah system.
Yeah,
granted,
where
he could have spoken to him as a Force ghost, but
yeah,
I don't know. I think Yoda's going to be in here.
I want a story. I don't want the nostalgia beans.
Sure.
I don't want to just check the boxes and be like, I saw it.
No,
I'm not saying you are. I'm worried the show is going to go down that road, whereas exploring the deeper inner crevices and issues that have arisen for a character who's had this much failure in his life as a Jedi is so much more interesting.
Going back to your point, though, Mike, do you think this is going to be part of the kind of that cycle thing? I mean, I think this is. I think this
it has
is going.
To be, right?
I think this is going to be him almost learning how to disconnect from the Force for Luke's own safety, ooh, right? Like, this is going to be him figuring out, like, I can't stop this thing. Like, how do Jedi haven't really had to have done that before, right? They haven't had to stop being Jedi. And so I think this is, like, kind of this could be this kind of turnkey show for the whole franchise. I really do believe that we'll be left with that feeling of, okay, what's next? And then, I mean, we'll get it with the original trilogy or maybe something else that's, like, larger. But I do hope that this show teaches us more about Star Wars. And even though it's a prequel, like, the way the prequels did that, right? They taught us the world. I hope this show teaches us the world of Star Wars a little more.
It feels... that's, I think you said it really well, Chris. Like, that's very exciting possibilities. And when you talked about him, like, closing himself off to the Force, I thought about how he will be connected to Anakin, and he will have to, otherwise Anakin will be able to find
right.
him. Right. It's the same way that Luke couldn't, because Luke couldn't shut off his connection to Vader.
Exactly.
And if he, that's how he does it, it's how he protects everything. And it's like, oh, wow, that'd be painful to watch and wonderful.
Exactly. And also just explain why he gave him the same last name. didn't want to drop the last name of this.
It's too sacred. They couldn't possibly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. couldn't just change that. Couldn't make him a Solo.
he was pretty Solo.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think we've covered, I guess the only things, there's some great shots of an Inquisitor ship.
Mm-hmm.
There's the Inquisitor lead woman that we don't know much about her. I think she's an actress who's been in something else, but I have not seen. I know there's some excitement about her being in this, so she definitely looks incredibly badass in this. Excited to see what she does. And yeah, I mean, clearly they did not spare any expense in the budget of creating a digital space world, whereas a lot of the other series, with the exception of the Mandalorian episode in Boba Fett, you know, you didn't feel like fully rendered worlds were being done in The Mandalorian as much as this.
Yeah. It's almost like those were like tech demos.
I'm less worried about fully rendered than fully realized.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, it looks as good as I had hoped it would.
Yeah. And is that Constable Zuvio?
Oh, he has the hat.
He's got the hat. But knowing Constable Zuvio. But
they'll like Jim Gordon them, where they're like, this is, you know, private Zuvio.
Yeah, exactly. Or we see a young Zuvio pick up the hat.
Yeah. It's like how every Batman movie, Commissioner Gordon has been like Lieutenant Gordon.
Right. Because
he hasn't gotten the promotion yet.
Yep. I'll ask before we move away from talking about this, how is the state of Star Wars in your mind going into this series? Meaning, we look at what we've seen from The Mandalorian, Season 1, Season 2, Book of Boba Fett. While entertaining in Mandalorian, Season 1 and Season 2, Chris, like you talked about, it didn't really have anything greater to say or learn about the Force, really. Unless it wasn't trying to, really. No, it wasn't really trying to. But I guess my question is, like, I have had my faith shaken in the direction of where we're going based on the conclusion of Season 2 of Mandalorian, based on what was 5 episodes out of 7 that were really just nothing in Book of Boba Fett. And if we get something similar with this character we've known for so long, I'm going to be pretty deflated.
Well,
yeah, I mean,
I don't know how you, I guess I'm setting totally, you up totally, like, how you
to me, it really depends on how much they're treating this like a standalone story, or if it's going to be like just another, you know, assembly line, you know, cog in the machine of, you know, them building toward something else. My hope, just because for this character, I think that it'd be good to see like a fully realized 6-episode series that's his story, or like, you know, like whatever,
yeah,
you know, Grogu free, not because I don't like right. Grogu, I do love, but like, you know, I don't want to see all of the, like, pageantry of, you know, oh, we're tying everybody together, blah, blah, blah. This character has a closed-off story that exists on its own already. So we don't need to build out that it's part of, you know...
Right, we're not rebooting his backstory.
Yeah.
Yeah. The way you're describing it to me, just, and we've talked about it before the podcast, is we don't need to see a Marvelized version of Obi-Wan.
Right.
Yeah, I don't need to see, you know, and listen, this would... it would make sense if, like, Ahsoka's in this series, right?
Yeah.
Because he knows her.
Yep.
And I'd be happy, obviously, to see Ahsoka in this series. But if it's, like, a thing where, you know, they... Ahsoka, oh, I heard that Master Yoda, there's another one like him. You know, like, whatever. And then it's,
oh, yeah,
again, like, Grogu-based. Or, I mean, they can't base it around Episode 6 Luke. They just, like, can't.
Right.
So that's a relief.
Just doesn't work, Luke. This is what you'll be in the future.
So that honestly, like, is a relief that this takes.
Yeah.
Luke as a plot point is there,
yep,
but Luke as like as a crux cannot,
yep,
can't be,
right,
other than like his point in the plot. Like it,
yeah,
it can't be overtaken with the character and like shadow of Luke Skywalker as we know him.
Yeah.
And that's a relief to me.
Yeah. We don't that kind of thing where it's just like, oh, you pulled the Luke card. I guess this is what it is. That won't happen. I think my hopes and anticipation for this are one, that it's mysterious and a mystery that I think some of the best parts of the prequels are the fact that like the Jedi, they're kind of like detectives in a way. Mm-hmm. I think this kind of, maybe just having seen Batman, I'm kind of amped on that feeling. But they do the work, and I think it'd be cool to see part of Obi-Wan actually doing some detective work. And then the other half of that is this kind of this connection to the Force and what they're learning new about the Force and just in its place in the Star Wars world. And I think that's what makes me excited about this thing, is that it feels like it has the kind of fervor. And like you said earlier, Ryan, this is a time period that is not really well developed in the live action sense, and not even really well developed in the animated sense either. This is kind of a very small sliver they really haven't touched to upon.
Yeah,
so,
like the moment is documented well, but in terms,
yeah,
of like the direct aftermath for,
right,
like people that,
yeah,
were in, you know, there on both sides of it, we haven't really dealt with that as much.
Battlefront 2? Wasn't that the
You're right.
No, it was Fallen Order.
Oh,
no,
yeah,
no, it wasn't
oh,
Fallen,
no,
Order. It was Battlefront 2. It was the
yes,
campaign story that I think, Ryan, you and I were the only ones who played.
No, I played,
yes,
that. No, Battlefront,
oh,
2. No, that goes after hand Luke Skywalker that little compass thing.
Yeah, that was right after Return of the Jedi. Oh yeah, but never mind.
Yeah.
Wrong time. Yeah.
Wow. Never mind. Watch my playthrough.
You,
of
know,
Battlefront
2 is between 6 and 7, but,
yeah, you're
but
right,
Jedi
Fallen Order yeah,
is almost exclusively after, like, in this time period.
Fair enough. Yep. Yep.
Maybe we'll get Saul Guerrero.
We haven't had enough Saw.
He could be,
that's
in
true,
here.
Saul Guerrero. Yeah, he would be in play.
How? What do we have? 3 different animated versions of Saw.
Yeah, exactly.
And we got Saw.
The most, yeah, the most used Star Wars character at this point.
Yeah.
He's been everywhere.
Wow.
I'm stoked. The trailer looks,
yeah,
great.
It really does.
He and like
happy,
again, he is the best special effect you have.
Yeah.
His, like that face of his, man. The beard, the hair. Whole thing, the beard,
goosebumps,
the hair,
I'm
the
ready,
whole damn thing.
I'm ready. I mean, and then they haven't even broken into the. They showed a few of the new cast members. Great. We got Benny Safdie.
Yeah, Benny.
Oh,
Safdie.
My god, I forgot. Yeah, Benny Safdie is in it.
So, well, that just kind of just brings up that Safdie, Kumail, O'Shea Jack. Are they all droids? Are they all just going to be droids? I would be disappointed if Kumail was a droid. It feels to me like he could be more prominent. He doesn't need to,
yeah,
be a droid.
He's,
I would,
up,
bet that.
Should...
No, I bet they're all live action or not. Yeah. I bet they're all humanoids.
Somebody's a droid in this mix, though. We saw one at about. Let me see where,
yeah,
I can pull it up somewhere. The time code. Oh yeah, about 107 in. It looks like a non K2SO, but it's still of that like larger scale droid. It almost looks like, because they wanted to put a whole human costume on someone and they're confronting a stormtrooper. That looks like it could easily be voiced by an actor we know.
I bet you're right. I mean, that seems to be the thing, is get someone that's funny to play.
Yeah. Yeah, they've been doing it, which is why it seems likely Kumail's going to be a droid.
It'd be interesting.
I guess we'll see
I'm
on
interested.
May 25th.
I, you know what? I might just watch and find out.
All right, last thing I'll say before we wrap it up. We've talked a little bit about Darth Vader and Hayden Christensen being in this. Now that we've seen footage, has it changed how you think they will incorporate Darth Vader into this show?
No.
Still, are you thinking flashbacks or are you thinking connections to the Force like Chris said?
I think we're going to see something new. I think we're going to see a new interaction between them in a battle.
Yeah, I think he'll probably be a presence in terms of like ordering around Inquisitors and stuff, and then eventually it'll culminate to him and an Obi-Wan being in the same place.
Hmm.
I think Obi-Wan will get the drop on him.
Higher ground. Again.
Again.
That's one of those things that we keep on talking about when you bring back characters, and as much as how anybody thinks of Revenge of the Sith, to leave the end of that movie with him having the high ground and taking out Vader and then resulting in their first time together again in A New Hope, you know, you kind of play with the significance a bit.
Yeah. No, that is true. I think we often talk about the moment in Star Wars, some people call it A New Hope, where he's kind of like, Han Solo's kind of calling him out, and when you see the prequels, that whole scene has new weight, where it's like, he's like, you have no idea what I've seen or have to do, like, or have done to protect the universe. I think that you're right. There's something fine-tuned there that you have to be careful with messing with, otherwise it can kind of dilute the past and present.
Do you think, now, this all can happen because George Lucas wrote the line, a presence I haven't felt since...
Yeah.
And then he walks away.
Exactly.
It could be anything now.
He turned well, to producers and said, watch this. Now you could fill in anything there for years.
When we get these ancillary rights out there and we sell this bad boy.
Exactly. Oh,
they knew and maybe doing. Maybe they'll, you know, when they release the original trilogy on Blu-ray they'll fill it in. With
they'll something. Have a seed there.
Since the Tatooine dung pits.
Tatooine dung pits. Boy. Oh boy!
But there is the line of like, when I left you, I was but the learner. Now I am the master. So, if he's Darth Vader,
I think he loses again.
He must lose it. He has to lose again.
Yeah.
But he's also,
you know what? I kind of like to see that.
He's Let's not the learner. I don't know.
Yeah.
But then it's funny if he does lose again.
Yeah.
What do they continue to do to Darth Vader's legacy? The only time we've ever seen him do anything well was in the hallway of Rogue One, and that was it.
He's kind of terrible. Crime don't pay, Mike. Crime don't pay.
Well, it's like, oh my god, the heads exploding of all of like the fanboys, like all these like Luke fanboys and like blah blah blah, you know, all these dudes who are mad that Ahsoka could ever beat Maul, blah blah blah. It's like the choice they have to make between like them saying that Obi-Wan wasn't strong enough or Vader wasn't strong enough. And it's just like, which one am I upset about?
Yeah, right.
You're telling me that if Vader can beat Obi-Wan can't beat Vader, but he's not powerful enough to beat Obi-Wan. Like, it's just like, oh, man.
Now I'm hoping.
It's going to end like Rocky 2. They're just going to hit each other in the head and both fall down.
Honestly, that's something like we need to make sure we clock this moment on the pod, because there's a high likelihood. Star Wars has a habit of the world splitting in half before the final blow. So it's happened in Force Awakens, happens in The Last Jedi, it happened.
That's right. Ryan, you've now given me the vision in my head just thinking of how Luke fanboys respond to something where they should just have Luke literally being like shoved into, you know, a toilet by Greedo, or like Greedo's got his long arm on him and Luke's like flinging, let me through.
And Greedo's going,
well, do you remember? Yeah, it's just so funny. It's like,
because this, you know,
like,
if you were bullied as a kid, you can't possibly be a hero ever.
All of this, you like, can't. Headcanon people have. Do you remember that dude? I can't remember his name. Who cares? That was just saying how, like, if he would be done with Star Wars if Ahsoka fought Maul and won. Because, like, Dave Filoni was creating this character. And it's like, all Darth Maul has ever done is lose.
Yeah, that's all we've
like,
ever
it,
seen.
Like, it's like all of this headcanon that comes from, like, oh, Darth Maul is the coolest looking character. He must be powerful. Or, like, he killed Qui-Gon Jinn, even though, like, at that point, we didn't know anything really about Qui-Gon Jinn. He might have been a bad Jedi, for all we know. We know he didn't, like, follow the rules or whatever, but we didn't know if he was, like, super good at being a Jedi. But like since then, all Maul has ever done is lose to people. Like he is supposed to be like Sisyphus. He's supposed to be this character that like is constantly tragic. He never wins. And it's like, so like, how do you break down when someone's like this character who famously loses like to everyone, but if they lose to Ahsoka, and how is she different from everybody else that he's lost to? Then all of a sudden I'm mad about it.
Right.
It's like crazy, like the headcanon people make up. So the, again, it's so delightful to me, the thought of people having to reckon with like either Obi-Wan lost or Darth Vader lost, and neither of them could ever lose.
It's like, I don't like how this makes me feel. That's funny you mention that. If you look closely at the Blu-rays, Ryan, Qui-Gon's his robes have a lot of burn marks and holes in them. And I didn't realize
he's missing a lot of fingers.
Yeah, I didn't put that all together.
There's that deleted scene where he turns on his lightsaber and Obi-Wan turns to someone and says, "We usually give him a fake one."
Exactly. And you see him like looking at it and hitting it. Oh man.
Well, I can't wait. I'm so excited.
Yeah, I'm stoked. It looks it looks awesome.
And Deborah Chow, look, she's great. So I'm very excited.
Yeah,
to see
it's and like, you know, has directed a bunch of episodes of Star Wars television at this point. So it's like, people know the technology, people know like the world, and they have like the workflow down. And it's like which is not to be like underestimated. Like that's a huge part of this stuff is like just figuring out how to do it. Like everybody, so once a director who's as talented as she is like doesn't have to worry about that anymore, it's like imagine like how much they're freed up just to be like creative and great storytellers, which of course she has been already, but you know what I mean, it's just like a lot of tech to figure out and stuff.
Yeah,
it's like, could you imagine trying to direct an episode of Star Wars and learning how the volume works at the same time?
Exactly. Well, I'm gonna put the camera here. You can't.
I think just to step back for 1 second outside of Obi-Wan and talk about the Lindelof news again, or Lindelof rumor.
Get in there.
Boy, what Damon Lindelof, I'm just so impressed that he would wade back into these type of waters. Meaning what he dealt with a fandom that he created with Lost, what he dealt with backlash to Star Trek, because he wrote the first Star Trek with J.J. Abrams.
Right.
Mm-mm, the second one.
Oh, sorry, the second one. It was the second one? Okay.
Yeah, he didn't write the...
Oh, yeah, because of the backlash he dealt with because of Khan. Yeah, you're right.
Right, yeah.
Mm. That kind of backlash and just his very public dealing with the way that people responded to his work to take on Star Wars.
Yeah.
That is a tip of the cat of the highest degree from the droids.
And he very generously has been very open and honest about this stuff, as you just said.
Yeah.
And I feel truly grateful because of so much of the work that he's done that I love so much, truly. Especially as I said with The Leftovers. But Watchmen 2 is amazing. Truly, truly grateful that he seems to be a person that is like, I'm doubling down. If people hate it, they can hate it.
And
like, again, he doesn't do it simply like in a defiant way. He literally is like, I'm compelled to do this.
Sure.
And he's working through the fact that people give him a hard time about it.
Yeah. Which makes me even more excited about this. Like, I just the fact that he's got no shits left to give and is going to just do what he wants to do. And the fact that they might be willing to let him do that. I don't know that this is all real, but if they are letting someone like Damon Lindelof do what he wants to do with Star Wars, I couldn't be happier.
That'd be incredible. He's an uncredited writer on the first Star Trek and producer.
And
he wrote Cowboys and Aliens.
He did.
So that, I mean, there you go. You got your Abrams, you got your Favreau. He's right in the club.
A somewhat fraught film writing career because, like, a lot of stuff, like Cowboys and Aliens is whatever. Star Trek Into Darkness was controversial amongst Star Trek fans.
I like Tomorrowland.
And then Prometheus, you know, people were, was also controversial.
Yeah.
And he's talked about that at length, too, about, like, he was a writer for hire. Like, he was writing for Ridley Scott. It wasn't, like, his own thing.
He wrote 5 episodes of Nash Bridges.
Yes. But I think if you watch, again, the notwithstanding the ending of Lost, which people can feel however they want about that.
I love it.
I think it's kind of great, but, you know, people had their feelings. The Leftovers, Watchmen, the rest of Lost, besides the ending. It's like the man is an incredibly singular talent. So, you know, along with like his vision and along with the writing staffs, obviously, that he works with. But let's the thought of there. At this point in his career that he's working on a Star Wars thing.
Exhausting. That's great.
Oh, you know what he needs to do? Reunite with Michael Giacchino, and Giacchino can do another Star Wars score.
Come on.
He did Rogue One, and it was beautiful, and do another. And you know what? He had 3 weeks to do that Rogue One score. He had no time at all. Give him all the time in the world. And he did Batman, and, you know, he did the Batman.
Listen to what he did with two notes in the new Batman. I'm not kidding. That theme is two notes. Like, Batman.
That's wait, was that like
Boba Fett version?
Was that like Boba Fett? Was that they did you say
Boba,
it in it?
Boba.
It's Boba. The Batman. It's the Batman.
Wow.
Oh yeah, that's funny.
Wow. What a fun new era we're in.
I can't wait for the Tatooine dung pits.
You and Mark me both, it down. You and me both.
I we're gonna wrap up the pod right now, but you know, I always am somehow surprised at how much we have to talk about. When we first started this podcast, what, 5 years ago? Was it almost 5 years ago?
Longer than that. Was it in the 80s?
It was in the 80s. We were like, what are we going to talk about most of the time? We're not going to have enough to talk about.
It never runs out.
What did you think people in the 90s did when they were talking on Star Wars about their CB radios to people across the country?
They were playing the role-playing game. They were getting the cards. Wow.
Well, that is going to do it.
16 movies what, between the droids. What are there, like 15 kids now?
Exactly.
We can almost field our own Jedi squad.
Wow.
That is going to do it for the Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast. We will be back with more fantastic Star Wars news.
What a throw. Honey?
Dung pit.
Since the tattoo, that's so funny, Mike. The tattoo and dung pits, really, that really tickled me.
That's probably the best joke I've ever had on this podcast.
I don't want to go to the Tatooine dung pits. Oh no, it's far too dangerous.